everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, as always, Shane Told, as I take you backstage, baby, to the conversations that I have with other lead singers. And in this case, backstage is over the phone from my home to his. And the guest is Nathan Tades Sanville of Hot Mulligan. They just released a new album, Why Would I Watch, just like 2 weeks ago. This thing absolutely slams. Great record, one of the best records of the year. It's just like such a great combination of incredible catchy songs and absolutely gut-wrenchingly bleak lyrics. Like, this thing rules. One of my favorite records I've heard in a while, and you need to hear it too. So make sure when you're done listening to this, you go listen to that album as well. This is a great conversation with Tades, which is his nickname, not his middle name. I know I said Nathan Tades Sanville, like it sounds like that's his middle name. No, it's his nickname. Didn't ask him where he gets his nickname. That might be for part two. Regardless, we are here now. It's a great conversation with a really honest and funny guy. And this is a good one. So sit back and buckle up. This is a good episode. Before I get into that, I want to remind you, you can always get in touch with me. You can send me an email. I read them all. LeadSingerSyndrome@gmail.com. If you've got suggestions for upcoming guests or any kind of suggestions, it's always open. My inbox is open. So hit me up, LeadSingerSyndrome@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, you can do that. We've got a little Patreon set up and you get some perks. You get some bonus content, some merchandise, and more. And it starts as little as $6 a month. So head over to LeadSingerSyndrome.com/all access. And you can be a member of the All Access Club. We are like 500 strong all over the world. It's a good time. It's a good group. We all hang out. We do meetups and we discuss things on the internet. We're all, you know, like-minded individuals. So it's a good group. So head over to LeadSingerSyndrome.com/all access. Yeah. Go get your Sad Summer tickets also, because Hot Mulligan is on that bill. It's a great bill and you'll love to see it. Summer festivals, they're here, man. It's like, it's June, right? It's summertime. It's a beautiful thing. You gotta love it. All right, well, let's get into my conversation with Tades of Hot Mulligan. There's something special in the water. I'm here with, is it Tades? Is that how you say it? Tades?
Yep, Tades.
Yeah, we have not met before. Nathan Tades Sanville from the band Hot Mulligan. This is exciting, man. I've had like so many requests to have you on the program, and I'm excited to talk to you. I love the new record.
Cool, thank you. Yeah, I was just talking about this podcast like last week with my girlfriend. She's like, yeah, it's a dude from fucking Silverstein. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I'm the dude.
And then Corey hit me up. My manager hit me up like 2 days ago and he's like, you want to do this podcast you were just talking about? Yeah, sure. Fuck it. Why not?
Well, let's go. Here we are. We're doing it. Where are you at right now? Where's home base for you?
I'm over in Chicago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. How long have you been there?
Not too long. I am still like a Michigan purist. That's the best state in the US.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. No doubt. But Chicago's the best city, I think, because it's chock full of Midwesterners. I headed over here like last October-ish.
Nice. Nice. Well, I have a huge soft spot in my heart for Michigan. I dated a girl that lived in Detroit for a long time. And I actually spent the last 4.5 years living in Windsor.
Oh,
if you know where that is. So like,
oh yeah, you're like right across.
Literally
yeah.
Right across Detroit River. Yeah, like probably I'm closer to Detroit than people that claim Detroit.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like in the like suburbs and shit up in Royal Oak. Like I'm closer than Royal Oak to Detroit, and I'm not even in the same country.
Yeah, dude.
So I love Michigan. I know it very well, and I know the passion people have for music in Michigan, and really the passion I think people have for their own. You know, Michiganders love their own people.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, don't you feel that way? Like obviously you guys have done really well there.
Yeah.
Getting your start in Michigan. You got a lot of supporters there. You know, it's great to see.
Yeah.
You'll love to see it.
I definitely feel that way with like our music scene. Like every band in Michigan seems to somehow be friends.
Yeah.
And that's really cool to see. Like it's hard to find beef there, you know?
No, absolutely, man. And there's been so many great Michigan bands. I mean, even going back to like, you know, my era coming up in like the late 90s, you know, there were so many good bands, and it's just continued, you know, all the way through. And I feel like Michigan's such a diverse scene. Like, and you'll see, I mean, this happens a lot of places, but I feel like in Michigan or even in Ontario, you just see like, you'll see like a random fucking death metal band playing with a band like you guys. And it's like, no one seems to care. It's like, this is cool. Like, I like death metal. I like, you know, emo, pop punk or whatever. And I love that about it.
Yeah. It's cool. Especially in like the DIY scene. They don't give a shit.
No.
The house show will be like a hardcore band, some experimental jazz thing. Like it just weird stuff, but kids, like back when we were doing that, kids would just show up for anything, you know, too.
Exactly.
So it didn't even matter what was on the bill. Like they're going to find something.
Exactly, dude. It rules. So you guys just got back from Europe and the UK, which is your first ever headliner over there. Am I right?
Yeah, dude. It was sick.
How was that?
It was awesome, especially for the band that we brought with us, Arm's Length. Your fucking fellow Canadians.
Okay.
The response for them was awesome. I don't know if people over there are just vibing with Arm's Length or if they checked them out because they saw that they're on our run. But like every night they had people singing and crowd surfing and fucking
cool,
throwing down for them. And like they're not big. They've got one album, you know? So it was awesome to see for the little guys.
I'm literally looking them up right now because I don't think I know this band.
Dude, chuck them on the podcast. They're Canadian, they're awesome.
I know. And they're Canadian. I'm like, I'm feeling like, oh, is my keyboard not working? Fuck, it's just always something, huh? yeah, my keyboard just stopped working. Like, when is that a thing? Anyway, no, dude, I will check them out. Absolutely. I'm always looking for new stuff. And when it's Canadian and they're doing really well, that's really great to see. I saw you played like a shitload of UK dates and like only two in mainland Europe. What's up with that? My European listeners are going to be mad about it.
We're heading back at the end of the year to make up for it. It was made that way as like a UK run. We hit Belgium for the first time anyway, mm-hmm. which was weird. Those guys are, Belgium is like very kind and nice and so polite that they don't know how to pit.
No, not really. You're right. Belgium is, yeah, it hits different. And yeah, you're right. They're a little too kind. Same in the Netherlands, actually.
Yeah.
Like that was always what happened when we'd play Amsterdam. And it was always like, oh, you know, they're listening. Like they're having a good time. They don't want to like run into each other, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we did Eindhoven mm-hmm. Last time we were over there with Knuckle Puck. And like, I don't think it popped off. Everyone had a good time, it seemed. It's just, I don't know. It's so like, it's alien to go to a show now and play and like, they just like politely dance, I guess.
Yep. I know. It can be weird. I mean, the Germans go pretty nuts though. I mean, especially like, I saw you just did one show in Cologne. It's great, great market.
Yeah, dude.
But like, yeah, I mean, you know, you get a few wobbly pops in the Germans, and they'll have a good time. They'll mosh. That's for sure.
Yeah, dude.
But no, man, I'm excited for you guys to head back over there and do some more because I just feel like, I don't know, it's just so good, man. It's such a good scene in mainland Europe. So
yeah, dude, it's awesome. I swear by Germany, that place is amazing. Like, they have Doner, and I like Doner now.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find any food to eat in the UK, so I just fasted for like 2 weeks.
Oh, that sounds not great. I mean, the food, we're getting real over here. The food in the UK is not great. It's just kind of bland. I mean, they have really good Indian food if you like that, and I do. But, you know, you can't eat Indian food every day.
Yeah.
It's not good. That's not great on tour.
No, that's blowing your stomach clean out your ass.
Yeah.
But I read this thing that historically, so there was that spice trail, right? That went up into Europe. Fucking white people got their hands on spices that they never tasted before. They would cook their meat and cover it in spices and like everything that they could get their hands on until there was a thick crust of it. And it sounds utterly disgusting. And I think they scarred the entire culture in the UK to never season anything again.
That might be what happened, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Probably.
Like, no, this is the end of this. We've gone too far. We have to go. We have to make up for hundreds of years of this.
Yeah.
That's very funny, man. Well, let's talk about the new record, because it's new. It's only been out like what, a week, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, right? And it's absolutely blowing up, man. People are freaking out about it. It's a great record. It's, you know, you've done really well on, you know, like the charts, you know, shit like that, which maybe when you started, you didn't think would happen. How's this feeling right now after it's kind of maybe settling in a little bit that, you know, people are really digging, Why Would I Watch?
I'm just glad anyone likes it, dude. Like, I see some people.
That's the answer I kind of expected from you, but yes, go continue.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I expected some people to be like, this isn't, you'll be fine. And
right, of course.
I saw some of that, but it seems like the majority of people are like, they're pleased with it and they think the songs are cool, which I don't know. I'm just trying to make songs that sound cool. And if other people think so too, that's a huge bonus.
Totally. I mean, I don't think it's like a crazy departure from the last record. I mean, I think the biggest thing that I get attached to, and I'm a singer and I write lyrics myself, obviously. And I think that that's really what sticks with me is I look at more of the lyrics and obviously from that perspective, it's very bleak. It's a dark record. And, you know, there's the absurd song titles, which obviously catch your eye right away. And, you know, the way you guys put yourself out there with some of your ridiculous merch and things like that. But then when you really, you know, and I know your real fans know this, reading the lyrics, it's like, oh shit, dude, like, they're really intense. And sometimes they feel almost like a cry for help, you know? Are you doing okay right now? I mean, your fans must reach out to you about it all the time. I mean, because it's really, really intense. And I mean, it's amazing that you're able to, you know, make this kind of imagery and paint these pictures on this record, because it's hard to do, especially with a band that's fairly poppy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
That was
I'm
a compliment.
Fine.
Go ahead. That was a compliment, but yes.
Yeah, it's bleak because things are fucking bleak. Like, sometimes people reach out and like, you know, how much can you care for a stranger? It's this weird like parasocial thing. And I don't know. It's just...
The thing is, let me cut you off though. I really want to get your answer, but it's like, by pouring your heart out this way and saying things in a way that, you know, maybe people haven't heard before or been able to relate before, all of a sudden, Tate, you're not a stranger anymore. Like, people feel like they really know you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they feel like they really understand you because they can relate so much to you.
It's strange. It's really strange.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, it's real and this is your life. So
it's just like, I don't know. That catharsis is like important and good, and like other people relating to it is like, I found that I can write about anything that I think, and people are going to relate to it because like nothing is unique. We're all basically the same, you know? So I just pick out the worst shit because it's the easiest and I think about it the most.
Yeah.
Like the little stuff that nags in the back of your head and can ruin a good day, you know?
100%, man. That's a good answer. I mean, and that makes a lot of sense. So Nathan Tade Sandville from Michigan, from rural Michigan. I don't know how much you've talked about your upbringing and how, you know, how you got into punk rock and the scene and all that stuff. Like, this is a question that I ask most people on the show, but I don't always expect like a visceral, intense story.
There you go.
But, you know, reading about, you know, songs like Golf Is On, about your mom, because that's like right in your press release. I'll just read this quote really quick. This is what you said. Golf Is On is about my mom. I'm asking her to die. Every time I hear about her, she's a worse person than before. That's what you said about that song. And reading the lyrics, you're like, oh, fuck. So, yeah, I mean, I'll ask that question. What was it like growing up in rural Michigan? Obviously, you know, you talk a lot about your family in these songs as well, and maybe a lot of dysfunction there.
It's a family movie. She hates her dad, and that was a Chris song because he had like a different familial stuff,
right?
over the discography that we've got, I've talked about my family a lot. I keep writing songs about my grandma because she's the best, and my dad rules.
Okay.
My mom is fucking, she's an awful, awful person. So.
Damn.
Growing up in the woods and like just away from everything is kind of awful. You know, media will like paint these pictures of these small towns where like everyone knows each other and like it's all there. Like, everyone that you know is just like a stone's throw away. But the way that I found it was the only like support system and friends that I could make for my like early childhood were via like church and things that fucked me up.
Oh, wow.
So breaking away from the church was like my first step in realizing that this small town shit just like didn't work right if you weren't like these people, you know?
Right.
Cause I think I'm still technically a hick, but like I was never into hunting and I was never into like, I didn't go mudding and I like campfires, I guess, but I don't know. I just didn't jive with these people. And then I back away from God and all of these kids won't talk to me anymore. I'm like, all right, there is truly nothing for a person like me here.
Right.
And that also was like super informative for the music that I listened to. Cause I had already been listening to like punk and stuff. Like NoFX is awesome. And I like Lagwagon and like Swingin' Otters.
Nice. So yeah, that's like the same shit I grew up on in the 90s.
Yeah. Right, dude.
There you go.
No,
I assume you're much younger than me, but,
I'm probably a little bit younger than you. I'm 28 this year.
Yeah. Yeah. You're 14 years younger than me. So.
Oh, Jesus.
50%. I'm 50% older than you. Yeah. It's just funny. Like it's funny how some of these bands, like you mentioned NoFX, I just saw them 2 weeks ago. They're doing their final tour ever. It is funny though, how some bands, you know, like stay relevant, you know, or and still influential. Like my fucking nephew is 18. His favorite band is Van Halen.
Jesus Christ.
Like, you know, like, okay, sure, man, whatever. Like, you know, it's just interesting how some stuff just, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's going to be classic forever. So anyway,
yeah, dude.
But yeah, go on with punk rock and your upbringing.
I break away from the church and it, all of this punk music is now making so much more sense. and then like just looking stuff up and using like bandcamp.com, that website was a fucking huge asset. It let me find like Scram's music and like Midwest Emo was popping off on there for a long time too.
Yeah.
I think Crywank is still like one of the number one albums on Bandcamp ever.
Crazy.
And then like that's where I found like Free Throw and they're still now my favorite band. And that like
that's the same label as them, aren't you?
As free throw?
Are you not?
No, we... I don't know. I don't remember if they worked with no sleep or not. I gotta ask them, I guess.
maybe I'm just making shit up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just do that. Sometimes my brain just goes to things. And except no, they're definitely on the Wax Bodega website. So right above your name.
Are they?
They're right above
you. No fucking way.
They're right above you.
I don't look at shit. I don't know things.
Yeah, they did. They're on the label. Or they were, at least.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. That would be sick, though.
Yeah, no, you are or were label mates with Free Throw. So get into it. Yeah, those days are gone. Okay, so 2014. Yeah, that was a minute ago. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just perpetually living about 10 years in the past anyway. So it's my MO. Anyway, continue, please.
Once I started finding things like that, like especially Midwest emo and like some folk punk stuff too. Like AJJ is one of my favorite bands. I was like, man, this stuff doesn't sound recorded super great. I bet I might be able to do stuff.
Right.
So like, I don't know, 15-ish or probably around like 14, I started really wanting to get into like starting a band, and it's all fucking downhill from there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're a guitar player too. So did you get a guitar? Was that kind of the first step? Were your parents supportive? I don't know about your mom, but you know, or how that worked, but what was that like with your family life kind of when you got into music? And obviously, I don't know if that's around the same time that you decided to, you know, leave the church, but that might not be great for, you know, family stuff.
Yeah. Hopping out of the church was its whole other thing. I always liked singing. Singing was always fun. Like I used to do that in church. And my mom liked that I sang, and my dad is like, he's like an old rock dude. He likes like AC/DC still and stuff.
Nice.
So
him and my nephew would get along.
Yeah, there you go. But like, so my dad is stoked. He's like, yeah, my kid's yelling stuff. That's neat. And my mom is, I think, widely indifferent so long as I'm singing in church and making her look better. And then my mom and dad get their divorce after she fucks everything up. And I'm just kind of coasting for a while and trying to get better and trying to find more music, you know? And my dad the whole time is stoked about it. He's still like, I don't know. I don't even know how much he like cares. He's just glad that I'm doing stuff that I like to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I haven't talked to my mom in like, I don't know, probably somewhere around 10 years, probably. So, I've got the support. I've got a happy dad, and my grandma knows that I can sing, and she likes that I sing. I think that's all she knows. If she read the lyrics, I think she'd have a fucking stroke.
Oh shit. Oh man. Well, yeah. So so what was your first band? When did you get into, you know, writing songs and playing guitar or however that worked?
I didn't pick up guitar until, Hop Mulligan happened. And then I don't play guitar at all. Really. I use it so I can put down lyrics and melody to a sound, you know?
Okay.
I know like some power chords, but, my first bands were when I was like, yeah, like 14 ish. And, they sucked and they were punk, but they were mostly original music because I liked writing.
Right.
And God, that was dismal. No one should, I mean, you have to start writing when you're that young, but I pity everyone who does because you can remember those lyrics.
Yeah, I know.
It's just fucking, oh God, it's like ego death. It's fucking terrible.
When I was a kid, like I was very young starting out writing songs with a guitar, and I was probably like 11, 12 years old. And my dad said, okay, you're writing, you got to write all this stuff down. So like write the lyrics and write how you play it and the chords or whatever. And he gave me this like bound book that like, you know, you can't like rip pages out of. It was like, you know, like a real hardcover book. And I wrote all the songs when I was that young in this book. And I still have the book.
Oh, Jesus, dude. So
it's there forever. And every, I don't know, few years, I'll like get drunk and look back at it. And I'll tell you though, there's like a lot of dog shit in there. Mostly dog shit. I mean, how good can it be when you're like 12 writing a song?
Right.
But there's a couple like lines and a couple songs. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I mean, I'm like, did I rip that off from something? Cause that's like way too good to be, you know? And it's funny how sometimes, you know, there was something there, you know?
Yeah. There's still a brain work, and it just is super inarticulate and kind of dumb.
That's very funny. Yeah, man. Well, I mean, you get started writing, I guess, you know, at an early age, you know, you start to kind of like get the wheels turning a little bit. But now, I mean, like, with this record, let's just talk about a couple of the songs. Obviously, Schaffel's On is, you know, a very personal song for you and what you're going through. And then you have a song like Betty.
Yeah.
Which when the record came out, everybody was talking about it. They're like, oh my God, this song about, you know, his dog or his cat. No. It's about your rat.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Pet rat. Love that. Love that little twist that I read in another interview. Talk to me about that. Just the reaction from your fans. I know it's an important song to you, but also just kind of the reaction. If there's been any funny reactions when people find out that it's about a not so furry friend.
Oh, dude.
Kind of furry.
Oh, they're furry as fuck. I'll tell you what. Well, people were like, I don't know. Some people seem like they're like legitimately mad about it because the song is, I know it's a gut punch because I wrote it and I feel that way. So
yeah,
shut up. I feel it too. You know?
Yeah.
And like people seem to like it. Like, but it's definitely an out of left field shot to the head. And, I've seen like very few people complaining about it being a rat. There's one guy who did, and he's like, let's remember that this song is about a rat in all caps. And then everyone else in the comments underneath was like, yo, fuck you.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Cause I don't know if people know this, but rats are like the perfect animal. Those things are I would sell a child to have rats, you know? They're amazing.
I think it's awesome. Yeah. I love the pet rat. My closest interaction with a rat, I have a different rat story, but I'm thinking of it, I think, because at the time I was living in Royal Oak, Michigan, you know, not too far from, well, the same state, at least from where you're from. And I was living with, a girl at the time, and she used to get up early for work. And we lived like we kind of like lived in her brother's house. And since I was like kind of just there between tours or whatever and not paying rent, I like felt like I needed to, you know, help out around and stuff, which I had no problem doing. So one time she would like on whatever day of the week, she would take the garbage, and, you know, take it to the end of the street. Right.
Yeah.
So one day she kind of like called me, which was weird because I was still sleeping. She's like, oh, I forgot to take out the garbage. Would you mind taking the garbage out?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay. So I had to, you know, take the garbage like from in the house and put it in the like, you know, big, you know, outside container and then drag it to the street. So I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I get up, put on my clothes because like, you know, they come in the morning. And I'm like, all right, this is fine. No problem. So I have the bag of garbage and I open the lid and there's a fucking crazy ass gigantic rat in the garbage can jumping out, snarling at me, trying to like bite my face off.
Snarling.
It was straight up snarling at me, dude. It was like really, really angry, like angry rat. Not like, not nothing like Betty, not sleeping all curled up, like loving your music. This was an angry rat. This was like, this is like Betty's mom. Okay. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is bad. So I, I'm like, it fucking scared me. I didn't know it was in there. Right.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, well, fuck, what do I do? So I take the garbage can to the street and I kicked it over and the rat ran away. I was like, okay, just like, I saved the rat. But I was like, okay, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. There's no fucking way that, oh, she just forgot to take out the garbage. I know exactly why I had to get up yeah. and take out the garbage that day. And it took me like a week to finally get her to admit that she knew there was a rat in there and didn't tell me. Because if you just said, hey, there's a rat in the garbage can, I didn't want to take out the garbage, I've been like,
maybe
okay.
it wouldn't have scared the shit out of you.
Yeah, right? Like, just give me, would you mind just giving me a heads up and that would be fine, you know? But anyway, nothing like Betty at all. There we go.
This is me encouraging everyone who listens to this podcast. If this same thing happens to you, bring that rat inside of your house.
Yeah.
Nothing bad will happen. If you think they're gross, you're wrong. And I will personally address you at a show.
Okay.
Let the rat inside of your home and feed it baby food. They love that shit. It's like rat crack.
I love this. This is a rat PSA right now.
Yeah, dude.
Straight from Tades. This is beautiful. Yes. Tades Sandville reminding you to help control the rat population.
Yeah, by making
them
pets. Have
your rat spayed or neutered. There you go. By making the pets. Exactly. Oh, man. Lovely. What else, man? Well, I want to talk about the video you made because my friend Dan Lampton is in it and I love that guy.
Yeah.
And also great song, but you guys obviously like are not making your videos an extension of the lyrics, generally speaking, maybe the song titles, but not the lyrics. What goes into a video shoot idea for you guys? Is it like, let's just make it as ridiculous as possible?
Well, that's, We have one like mainstay videographer, photographer friend named Michael Herrick. The Michael Herrick imaging guy.
Okay.
He is like a genius and he's amazing to work with. And we've been working with him forever. And me and him really, really vibe when it comes to coming up with stupid shit to film. we both wrote the Drink, Milk, and Run video together, and then this Gans Media one was more like his treatment, and he just has like this style of absurd bullshit that he's really, really good at, and it's like it's both of our sense of humor. So he shoots ideas at me and I'm like,
right,
yes, we can make that happen somehow. And it's just kind of like everything is on the table, you know, like everything that your little dumb heart could desire, we will try and put into video form and sell to the world, because we are very indifferent about our brand and think that most of what we do is funny, at least.
Right. Yeah, your brand. It's interesting, right? Because I don't know how much this gets talked about or like thought about on in random group chats or email threads, or if not at all. But you know, like the song title thing, for example, like to me, it's kind of a throwback of like the late 90s, early 2000s. It was a common thing. Well, not common, but a lot of bands did it. Like I think of Minus the Bear.
Yeah.
Was a band that did it a lot, or Fall Out Boy was probably the most popular band that ever did it. But Fall Out Boy even kind of ended up selling out and starting songs. They started calling songs like Dance Dance, which was like in the song. Is that something you guys have ever had a conversation about? Like, hey, maybe we should just call this song like What I'm Saying, maybe to get more kind of eyeballs on it. Because I know you still care about being popular. Like you still want to be popular.
I don't know, dude. I don't really like,
okay. All right.
I mean, the rest of the band seems to have a different take on it. Like they definitely want to succeed, but, yeah, I have a much more fleeting scope on life and like my career. And I just want to do things that are fun, and like taking it seriously, like, I take my lyrics and writing seriously, of course, and we all take making catchy songs seriously, but everything outside of that is just like, none of this shit fucking matters. Like, I'm just trying to do dope shit, you know? And even house shows are dope, so if I end up playing another one of those, then I don't care. Just, I don't know, pay me a 30 rack and I'm good to go.
I love it. I love this guy. This guy's great. Sorry, I'm breaking the breaking the fourth wall there for a second to talk to the people listening, because fuck, this is great, man. And thank you for your honesty. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for honesty and everything. I've got a very important question though to ask you.
Oh baby.
Did you actually sell any gallons of milk?
We don't handle any of the back half.
Okay.
So you can hit up our management about that if you must.
So you're going on the record and saying you don't know if you sold any gallons of milk? Because that you can say that.
I'd say I am led to believe that we may or may not have sold gallons of milk. Yeah.
Yes. Well, they're sold out right now, unfortunately. Anybody looking to buy gallons of milk on the Hot Mulligan store, I'm not sure when they'll get any in stock. But they're $1,200 if you're interested.
If you're interested.
For a gallon of milk, if you're interested. Well, when they're back in stock, assuming they will be.
I do know it will show up curdled.
But yeah, it's not going to be in great shape, but, you know, it's a special item. You should sell rat milk.
Good Lord, that would taste awful.
Everybody loves rats, but nobody wants to drink their milk.
Fuck no, I don't even. I'm like the number one rat advocate of the world, and I'm not going to drink that shit, dude.
All right, man. I got a couple more serious questions, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
This is a singing podcast, and you probably have one of the most kind of intense, well, I won't say kind of, intense vocal deliveries. It sounds like you're pushing extremely hard, and I know you have blown your voice out on tour.
Hell yeah, dude.
I mean, we all have, dude. We all have. That happens to freaking, you know, people that don't even push their voice. Is that an ongoing concern, struggle, worry for you? I mean, I get stressed out as fuck on tour when I'm, you know, not at my best. How is that for you?
I don't know. I mean, for you, it's probably a little bit different just because it's like you have like structure and like, you know how to sing and like you have your cleans, you know?
Well, the screaming is a problem. Yeah. But
yeah, the screaming is definitely more of a big technique thing, you know, but, I don't know any technique. All of the singing I do, like the sounds I'm making are all whatever I have figured out works. You know, I never talked to anyone or took a vocal lesson. So, I don't know. I know my voice really well because I did that. You know, I had to spend the time with it. And instead of learning technique, I had to learn how my shit individually works on my own.
Right.
So it's not that concerning really. Cause, even if I do blow out my voice, I will just yell harder until the note happens.
Yeah, I know. That can't be good, right?
No, God, no, that's bad.
Because I've been there too, man.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's along with like my kind of fleeting view of the whole thing where it's like, I'm just here to fucking party. I want to yell and do cool music stuff, you know? And if I end up spitting out my entire larynx, then that is a byproduct of having a good time.
Hey, there you go. You're a pretty positive dude for what you write, man. Sometimes.
I've been told that. I'm super not.
Well, I'm enjoying it. One last question that is awful slash funny for me and I can relate to. So your record, You'll Be Fine, which is obviously was a huge release for your band, you know, sophomore record. Mm-hmm. And it's a record that's, I mean, kind of put you on the map. And it's kind of a modern classic, I'd say almost.
Oh boy.
Well, it came out on March 6th, 2020. probably the worst time you could ever release an album in the history of the world. And believe me, I can relate because Guess what day Silverstein put out an album?
What, 7th?
A Beautiful Place to Drown, also on March 6th, 2020. Oh. So we're in the same boat, releasing albums at literally the worst time ever.
So sick.
And, you know, but it's funny, right? Because at the time it was like, well, that's just our fucking luck, right?
Right.
And no one's going to remember, you know, these songs or care about this because there's bigger fish to fry in the world. But now, I mean, my take is like, actually, maybe it was beneficial because everybody was kind of stuck at home looking for shit to listen to.
Right.
And our record actually did pretty well. And your record, obviously, it's something that it blew up, right?
Yeah.
You know, Equip Sunglasses is like a huge song, probably one of your biggest, maybe your biggest. So what was that like kind of when you realized, hey, maybe this is like not that bad?
So incredibly bittersweet because like, we're like, oh, the album's doing really well. I guess people are bored.
Yeah.
And like, we also like, we're huge. Like we're a big catharsis band, you know, we make bummers and people were bummed. So it was like, it was kind of good timing. And also, holy shit, nearly the end of the world. God, if there was ever a time to learn that everyone in charge is completely incompetent, you know?
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like when you're a kid, at least for me, I remember just kind of thinking like, oh, well, my parents know the answer. And if my parents don't know the answer, then my teacher knows the answer. And if my teacher doesn't know the answer, well, the principal definitely knows the answer. And then there's all the like politicians. Well, they've all got it figured out, right? Like,
yeah,
they're making all this thing work, all this shit work. And then all these kids like right now are just learning at a very young age, we're fucked and we don't know anything and everyone is a fraud. And that's the reality of the world. So there you go.
Yeah. It's so sick that it just gets dumber the higher up you get, dude.
Oh yeah, it does. Absolutely dumber.
I mean, as a Canadian, I'm sure that the fucking theater that we're putting on down here is very interesting to watch.
Yeah, we've got our own, like, I don't know, I call it like the minor, like, you know, you guys are the major leagues, we're like the minor leagues, like we're just
you
like
mean
aspiring.
Trudeau's blackface was, yeah, minor league.
Oh yeah, that's fucked up, right?
I mean, no fucking weirdo.
I mean, hey, whatever. I love Canada. I live in the US now, but I love Canada, and it, you know, I care about it. But yeah, like some of the shit going on is just as bad. Just like,
dude, it's
on
just
a smaller,
like,
on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like, and like, I don't know. I don't want to say there's nothing to do about it because there are much smarter people who can do something about it. But I've essentially given up. I like the idea of anarchy at this point. I don't think anything works. Just fucking, I don't know. Show me some napalm and I can change the world, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know how much of this can be in the podcast.
Well, that maybe not Jesus. you're going to get put on some kind of list for that one, I think.
Dude, there's no way I'm not already on a list.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Well, now I'm on a list. Thanks a lot, man.
It's a singer thing. We're loud, right?
Absolutely. Dude, well, thanks, man, for doing this. Wait, we're at 40 over 40 minutes. I do appreciate your time. I want to just, you know, let you tell the people about what you guys got coming up. Sad Summer, that's going to be sick. Great lineup.
Mm-hmm.
What else to tell the people before I let you go, get back with your day?
We're doing that. We're heading over to Europe and the UK again with Spanish Love Songs, and that's
nice.
Probably going to be an all right time. So,
hell yeah.
Come boogie, listen to smaller bands. Don't let your DIY scene die because it wants to, and you need to fucking beat that thing back into life. And let the rats in your house, all of them, every single one that you see.
Those are, God, this is great. That's great. Let the rats in. Just let them in. It'll be fine.
Yeah, dude, they'll have a great time.
It's great. Everything's going to be fine. But maybe don't drink their milk.
Don't drink their fucking milk. It's no good.
Okay. You sound like you really know from experience. Like you sound like you tried it.
I had two female rats. Oh boy, have I experienced some things in my day.
Tades, you're the man. Thanks so much for doing this. I always play music on the show. Do you have a Hot Mulligan song I can play for the people? Maybe something from the new record?
Could put on Betty and make people mad.
Okay, we'll play it. I'll play that. I'll play that as well as another song. How about that?
Okay. The last song in the album, John the Roxina, Can You Smell What the Undertaker?
There you go. Okay. That's quite a title too. Don't need the backstory on that one. It's wrestling related.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. Dude, thank you so much for doing this, man. Have a good one, and hope to see you around.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
All right, man.
I hope to see you too.
Yeah, take care. So there it is with Tades of Hot Mulligan. That was a super awesome conversation. Guys, fuck, that guy makes me laugh. And also, that was just super informative and honest. And I really want to thank him and all of his people for making that happen. You do not want to miss the new record from Hot Mulligan, Why Would I Watch, which is out now on Wax Bodega, which is or was the home of Free Throw at one point. They got a lot of great bands on there. I'm seeing Holy Fawn, Knuckle Puck, Gates, Super American, and Arm's Length, who Tades shouted out, fellow Canadians. And I will check them out, and you should too. Next week, we will be back with another episode of the show. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button. I know I say it every episode, but it's important. So if you haven't done it yet, just stop what you're doing, hit that follow / subscribe, whatever button, hit the button, smash the button, whatever they say, do it up. Now I'm going to leave you with a couple tunes. These were straight from Tades. These are the ones he wanted you to hear, and I want you to hear them too. So we're going to start with the last song on the record, and the title, I got to look it up honestly, because it's a lot. He said it, but the title is John the Roxina, Can You Smell the Undertaker? Okay, we're going to play that one, and we're going to follow it up with a song about Tades' late pet rat, Betty. Here they are on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love, and we'll see you next time.
Pulse consistent, Holy Ghost keeps whispering, you'll come on, persistent, how he told me to hit my body off I go. All those scars are hard to hide, I'm still sleeping fully clothed. But that's what you wanted, was it? Friends couldn't see me when I gone. Wednesday school, how great's my God? She used to sleep tucked in a tiny ball. Used to listen when I sang her favorite song. Held her fingers so she'd wake with me. Get drunk and sink into the couch for the TV. Couple of years we couldn't go outside. Thought long as she was here then I would be just fine. Had a cough and made me nervous then. Thought it would pass by time the winter met its end. Oh. Doctor said it doesn't go away. Nothing left to do but hope and medicate. Held her fingers so she'd wake with me. Get drunk and stay awake for days. I'd watch her breathe. Got her ashes from the vet today. I can't look at them and find the proper place. She used to sleep tucked in a tiny ball. Used to listen when I sang her favorite song. Oh.